Welcome to this week's podcast from Planet Shakers in Melbourne, Australia. For more details, check out planetshakers.com. We hope you enjoy this message.
Word of God for us today, not because I think anything of myself, but because I know that God loves His church so much that He always delivers His word to His church. And so I'm expecting, as I want you to be expecting today, even if you're watching online, come on, be expecting. The word of God is powerful. And as I said, we were just away, and normally, you know, awesome time away worshiping with people all around the world. And normally when we're away, just a bit of insight for you, normally they group us up, they pair us up. We normally room, buddy up in a room. So normally Joth and I, we share rooms together, and just because we're mates, you know, we're friends. And so normally that happens, and it's cool. But in the last nation we're in, I think probably due to a language barrier, praise God, things got a little bit muddled. And we ended up each with individual rooms, which is fine. It's not a problem at all. In fact, it's quite good because I was quite sick. And so it's probably better for everybody else that they weren't sharing a room with me. But anyways, on the last night, we'd had an incredible meeting and incredible worship time with people, and we were heading back to our rooms to get some rest. And to be honest, I was quite tired. I had been sick the whole time we had been away, and I was expecting to get some rest. But I don't know if you've ever had an experience like this, but as I went to open my hotel room door, as I began to step foot into that room, I became aware that somebody greater was in that room. I don't know if you've ever had a moment like that where you feel like God's been waiting. There's like a residue about it. There's an aroma about it. Somebody's been in this room. Somebody's been waiting for me. And I could sense, I've been a pursuer of God long enough to know when He's tugging on my heart. And as I opened up that door, I all of a sudden realized, I recognized that my desire for God in this moment was superseding my need for rest. It was overriding my needs and my desire to just chill out. All of a sudden, there was a greater desire that was being stirred because I realized I had a moment right now. There's nobody here. It's just me and God. And I could feel Him tugging at my heart to turn aside, to give Him my attention. As I began to pursue Him, I realized that wasn't just a moment for me. I realized that God was wanting to do something in not just me, not only me, but God was wanting to set us up as a church. You see, He began to speak to me about not just a moment in my hotel room in a foreign country, but He began to speak to me about a moment that we would have here in church today. See, I don't know whether you realize it or not, but as you walk through the door, you should have become aware that there was somebody greater in the room today. Come on, I don't want us to get used to it. God is in the room today. God is here in the place. And there is somebody greater. There is a residue about it. There is the presence of God here in this room today. And right now we have a moment. We have an opportunity. God is tugging at our hearts to say, would you turn aside? I have a moment right now for you. I have an opportunity. I have an invitation for you right now in this moment. This is an opportunity. And I believe it's a setup. Every single time we come together, it's a setup. God is wanting to prepare us. Let me just encourage you right now. Make yourself aware of Him, whether you're sitting down, whether you're standing. We're going to get to it in just a moment, but the greatest thing we could do is be aware of somebody greater. Right now, whatever you need to do to make yourself aware of Him, whether it's lift your hands, whether it's close your eyes, whether it's just to focus in and hone in on the Spirit of God right now, I'm telling you, God's presence is here, and whatever you're needing from Him, He is ready to deliver that and more. He is able to do far over and above everything we ask, hope for, think of. And so, Holy Spirit, right now, we open up this meeting to You. We open up this meeting. We open up our hearts to You. You are the main attraction. You are the one we've come for. And the moment we feel You stirring our hearts, Lord, we turn aside. We've come for You. We desire You. We honor You. We honor You. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Go ahead and take your seats in His presence, but let's stay aware of what He's doing. This is the month of prayer. Pastor Rudy just mentioned it. And of course, that means that we would be encouraging all of us to pray more. That would be a good thing. Come into the office, join 24/7 prayer, be praying more. But of course, anytime the man of God picks up on something like that, this, wait. This is going to be August, the month of prayer. We've got to realize that there's something going on a little bit more than just an encouragement to pray more. We've got to realize and pick up on the opportunity and the invitation that anytime God would say, I want you to dedicate this as a month of prayer. It's God positioning us in preparation for what He's doing. We have to realize that prayer is the posture of positioning for preparation. That's what prayer is. And so when God says, I want you to dedicate a month of prayer, what He's saying is, I'm wanting to position you in preparation for what I'm about to do. And I've got some news for you today, church. God is about to do something in your life. I've got some news for you. God is not done with your 2015. God is not done in your situation. God is not done in your family. God is not done in your urban life group. God is not done in our campuses. I don't know what your year has been like so far, but your God always has more. Your God has something in store for you. If you're glad that God has more, go ahead and give Him some praise. The picture I get is like a navigator in a rally, you know. I don't know if you're familiar with it, a car rally, you know. There's the driver. The driver is responsible for having his hands on the steering wheel, probably at all times would be a good idea. And the driver's responsible for deciding to turn. Which way are we going to turn? But then there's a navigator, and the navigator's responsibility is to prepare the driver for what's around the corner, to prepare the driver for the next move. See, the navigator says, I know you may not be able to see it yet, but just beyond this crest is going to be a corner. And I need you to begin to lean in now. I need you to begin to prepare yourself now for what's just over this crest. That's the way a navigator begins to talk. And we need to realize that it's up to us to begin to turn. But Holy Spirit, as the great navigator, is saying to us, August as the month of prayer, He's saying, listen to me. You may not be able to see it. You may not be able to hear it. But just beyond this crest, I've got something for you. I've got something. And I need you to prepare yourself now. I need you to lean in now. I need you to turn aside now. For what I'm about to do. Anytime God says, dedicate this time of prayer, that tells me He's about to do something. So with all of that in mind, I want to speak to us today. I believe God wants to speak to us today on the subject. The access point. The access point. Turning to James 5, verse 13 to 18. From the New King James Version today, because we're super smart. Nah, it just says it better this time. James 5, verse 13 to 18, the access point. It reads, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses, therefore, to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Listen to this, because the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Going back to verse 16, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Or as another version says, the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. The prayer of the righteous has great power and produces wonderful results. Or as the Amplified Version says, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous person makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Father, we've already been preaching, but right now I ask, breathe on your word today. Open our hearts to you. Cause us to turn aside and spark that desire in us, I ask today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The access point. You know, your God is the kind of God who asks us to ask Him. I don't know if you've thought about that before, but your Father is so desperate and so urgently wanting to give, so bursting at His heart in what He wants to do on your behalf, that He has to prompt us and urge us simply to give Him the opportunity to do what He's been wanting to do. That's the kind of God He is. He's not a kind of God who shirks responsibility or neglects or puts it off. He doesn't get overwhelmed with the responsibility of answering prayers. He doesn't avoid the subject or avoid eye contact, hoping that we'll forget what He promised us. He's not the kind of God that just I said we'd do what this weekend? I had no intention of actually doing that. No, that's not the kind of God He is. Everything He promises, He expects to fulfill. Everything He invites us to, He expects to answer. That's the kind of God you have. He doesn't get overwhelmed with the responsibility of answering these requests. He doesn't ignore it or feel the pressure and not know what to do with it like some of us do with those unopened emails in our inbox. Hello, somebody. Doing nothing. If I open it, then I'm going to need to answer it, and I don't have the answer for that email. I don't know what the answer is, and so I'm going to mark unread. I obviously wouldn't do that, but I know some of us do, praise God. I'm just going to mark it unread, and sometime or someplace, I'm going to get the answer for that, but no, now they're beginning to grow, and all of a sudden, there's a list of unread emails, and the longer that list grows, the better I get at avoiding it, and I don't even want to look at it, and this would be so much easier if my iPhone didn't have a red number at the bottom of my screen constantly reminding me, 74 emails. That's not the way God avoids your prayers. He's not hiding from you. He's not trying to avoid His responsibility. No, God is more desperate. Your Father is more desperate to provide than you are for the provision. God is more eager to show you than you are to see. That's the kind of God we have. God says, ask. Ask. Ask me. Please ask me. That's the kind of God. He says, ask of me and I'll give you the nations. Jeremiah 33:3 says, ask of me and I will show you great and glorious things that you do not know. James 1:5 says, if anybody needs wisdom, let them ask the Father who gives generously to all without finding fault. John 14:13-14, Jesus says, you haven't done this yet, but ask anything in my name that it might bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me. I'll do anything you ask in my name. Hear the heartbeat of God. He's saying, please ask me. Please give me the opportunity to be your provider. Please give me the opportunity to be your healer. Please give me the opportunity to come through. That's the kind of Father He is. And in that great scripture, Matthew 7:7-8, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you, because listen to God, He doesn't add any fine print or any disclaimer or any limitation. He's not worried about us taking advantage of it. He just says, here's the promise. Everybody who asks receives. Everybody who seeks finds. And the door is open to everybody who knocks. That's the kind of God He is. Ask. Ask, ask. That's what He's saying to us. He's saying, I want you to turn aside. I'm inviting you. I'm giving you this opportunity right now to ask. He gives us this gift. And this gift really of praying, what is it? It's access. Access. Prayer is access. Prayer is access to somebody. Prayer is access to something. And isn't it amazing how familiar we become with who we have access to? But I'm not saying that prayer gives you access to an important person. Prayer doesn't give you access to a rich person. Prayer doesn't give you access to an influential person. Come on, somebody. Prayer gives you access to God. Wait a second. Selah, think on that for a moment. You have access to God. You, young person, you, You have access to God. Person watching online, your prayer gives you access to Creator God, Savior God, that Provider God. And come on, Pentecostals, let's not get used to it. Not just God, but prayer gives you access to Holy Spirit. Oh, come on, somebody. Access to the same Holy Spirit who hovered over the face of the deep in Genesis chapter 1. That same ancient creator Holy Spirit who hovered over Mary and gave birth to the Savior. That same Holy Spirit who hovered over the dead body of Jesus and brought it back to life. You have access to. Access. And yet the amazing gift that we seem to have, not really a gift, we have this ability to take the greatest of gifts and take them for granted. It seems to be that the things we have unlimited access to are the things that we become numb to. I mean, I only have to think about fresh, nice, clean, safe drinking water. I only have to, well, pick up this bottle. That was just a segue because I needed a drink ink. I'm a little hoarse. Nay. The reality is, I only need to walk a few meters, turn on a tap, and I have virtually unlimited supply of fresh, clean drinking water. That's great access that we have here in Australia. But you can guarantee that I don't have the same value for what I have access to as somebody halfway around the world that has to walk miles and miles just to get access to a fraction of what I have. Something about unlimited access can equal familiarity, but the problem with access plus familiarity is access plus familiarity turns my access into nothing more than an accessory. An accessory. That's what familiarity plus access equals. It means something I can put on and take off whether it suits me or not. It means that I need some incentive. I need some motivation in order to put this thing on. Something that I have unlimited access to. All of a sudden, I need some convincing to go to. And the amazing thing about familiarity is familiarity leads to dishonor, and dishonor contradicts my prayer life, because how can I possibly call on a God that I don't even value as being who He says He is? And yet He is who He says He is. And I do have access to Him the way that He says I have, which means that I have access right now to all the provision that I need. I have access right now to supernatural power. I have access to everything my family needs. Oh, come on, somebody. I have access to everything my city needs. I have access to everything my solution, my situation needs. I have access to solutions and answers and strength and encouragement and wisdom. I have access. Access. I love the way James 5 talks about this. It's amazing. The effective, fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. The effective, fervent prayer. So it's prayer that gains me access, but God here is listing and describing the kind of prayer that gains access to Him. He says, effective, fervent prayer. I had to look it up, but those words are adjectives. English lesson right now. There's two little descriptive words there that are saying the kind of prayers that God is expecting from His planet shakers. He's saying, I'm expecting effective and fervent kind of prayers. Now, I looked this up. Effective, fervent, they sound like good words. You know what they mean? Effective, fervent means energetic, active, efficient and effectual prayer, petition or request. And then the word availeth in the old school language, it means to have or exercise force, to be able, to prevail, to be of strength, to be whole and of much work, or dot, 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 to be of abundant force. Therefore, your fervent, energetic, passionate pursuit and request of God gives you access to abundant force. I said, your fervent, energetic, passionate pursuit and request of God gives you access to abundant force. I don't know about you, but I need some abundant force working on my behalf right now. I don't know about you, but Planet Boom, we need some abundant force going on in our Friday night meetings. I don't know what it is that you need, but if you're a planet shaker and you're expecting to actually shake the planet and you're expecting to actually change a city, which let me remind you is exactly what we're believing for. If we're believing to change a city, we might need some access to some abundant force. And yet God says, I've got access for you. Here's the access point, but here's how I want you to pray fervently, energetically, effectively. Sounds to me the way a planet shaker would pray. Come on, somebody. That sounds like the kind of way planet shakers pray. Come on, planet shakers, don't pray quiet, apologetic little prayers that we're not convinced of that God's going to answer. Planet shakers, pray with energy. Planet shakers, pray with fervency. Planet shakers, pray with this fan into flame with our whole heart. I don't know where your spiritual fervency has been at, but it might be time to stand to your feet and fan that into flame. I don't know if you've been going through the winter blues. I don't know if you've been feeling sick lately, but come on, it's time to stir this energy within your spirit. Be energized today. Be energized in your prayer life. Be energized in your pursuit of God. Be energized in your turning aside to seek Him. It's time to pray. It's time to pray more than you're thinking about it. It's time to pray more than you're talking about it. It's time to pray more than you're complaining about it or worrying about it, because complaining, worrying, talking and thinking ain't giving you access to nothing. But I'm telling you right now, some fervent prayer will give you access to abundant force. Come on, somebody. That's why 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, always be joyful, never stop praying. Colossians 4 verse 2 says, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. 1 Timothy 2 verse 1 says, I urge you first of all to pray for all people. And Ephesians 6, 18 says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Come on, somebody. What's the point of being Pentecostal if you don't access the power that's available to you? Pray in the Spirit at all times. Something happens when I begin to pray. It's the access point. The access point. And I know that the reason God would say, August, this is the month of prayer, it's because He's saying, I want to set up right in the middle of the year. I want to set up, you're able to access something because it's positioning you in preparation for what I'm about to do. Church, God is beckoning us. God is prodding our hearts and tugging on our hearts saying, ask. Ask of me. Come on, what does your city need? What does your urban life need? What does your ministry need? What does your family need? God is saying, ask of me. Ask of me. Ask. 2015 has thrown up some things that I wasn't expecting. I don't know about you, but I guess that's life, isn't it? It's thrown up some situations that I didn't know how to respond to be honest with you. It's thrown up some situations that I didn't know whether or not I had the wisdom or the confidence for. I found myself in a situation where I needed access to something more than myself. I needed access to wisdom that I didn't have. I needed access to grace and patience, hello somebody, that I didn't have. I needed some access to some resources that I didn't have. And yet I know I've learned how to turn aside, how to feel that prompting of God. And so to be honest, there's been some 2 a.m. prayer meetings this year. There's been some times where it's nothing but me and God alone in my little kitchen. And yet we're able to turn that kitchen into an access point. When I take it, 2 a.m., it might start with a bit of worry and a bit of anxiousness and a bit of unsureness. But I want to tell you by 2:30 a.m., because do not worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. And when you do, the peace of God, when it surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So by 2:30 or 3 a.m., all of a sudden, there's no peace like the peace of God that surrounds you and guards you when you know I've prayed through it and God's got it. I know I may not be able to feel anything change, but I know everything's changed, not because I have the answer, but because I access the one who does have the answer. Come on, church. It might be time for some 2 a.m. prayer meetings. It might be time to get up a little bit earlier. It might be time to stay up a little bit later. It might be time to turn aside. Turn aside and seek Him. Turn aside and answer the invitation. And if I can take us, as strange as it sounds, all the way back to that hotel room in a foreign country, nobody but me and God. And I realize that right now there's a few more hundred people in here than just you and God. And yet, just for the next moment or two, can you get to a place where it is just you and God? The best way I can explain it, I don't quite know how to explain that feeling, that sense, but the best way I can explain it is that I'm familiar with my wife's perfume. I know it well. I know what it smells like. So much so that I could pick up that aroma. I could pick up that smell even in a crowd, even whilst there are other people there. There's a scent, there's an aroma of the person that I know so well. There's an aroma of the person that I love so much. So much so that if she's been in a room and then I walk in the room, I can sense that the person I've loved has been here. She's been here because I can sense the residual aroma of somebody that I know so well. And the best way I can explain it in that hotel room is not the perfume of my wife, but the aroma of somebody that I love and know so well. It's like there was an aroma that God's been here. Do you know that sense? Do you know how to pick up on His presence like that? Do you know how to let it stop you in your tracks and go, wait. God's been here. Like Moses in the burning bush. He wasn't expecting it. He wasn't looking for it. But God is the kind of God that knows human nature enough to get our attention to cause us to turn aside. And right now, although I know it's a normal kind of church service and there are hundreds of us here, I wonder if you would stand to your feet right now, and I wonder if you would make yourself aware of His presence. Come on, right across this room, why don't you begin to lift your hands as we did at the start of the message? Why don't you begin to make yourself aware? Why don't you begin to open up your heart and yield yourself over to Him right now in this place? God is here. Wait on You. We wait on You. Thank You, Jesus. Come on, seek Him. Come on, make yourself aware of Him. Maybe you're not used to doing that, man. Maybe it means you need to begin to pray. Maybe even some of you already want to respond and come and fill the front. That's okay. I don't know what you need to do to position yourself in preparation. But whatever it is that you need to do for the next couple of minutes to make yourself aware of God, I'm telling you that the aroma of His presence is here right now. Come on, church, let's pick up on it. Come on, let's make ourselves aware of Him. Come on, let's turn aside right now. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. We pray that you were truly blessed by what you heard. For more details, check out planetshakers.com.